Welcome everybody back this afternoon. Appreciate everybody being here as we once again worship God together. Last week in our business meeting, we discussed the fact that about a year ago this month, we had the discussion of elders. And after coming to the conclusion that though we had some men that were qualified, they were not yet ready to take on that responsibility, we decided that in a year's time we would revisit that particular subject of elders. And as we discussed in the business meeting last week, that we were going to be having some lessons on elders and different aspects of elders. And instead of just preaching the same type of lessons that we would normally have, like we did last year, which we will eventually have another one like it, talking about the qualifications and characteristics of elders, I'd like to consider one particular event in the book of Acts that helps us to understand not just the role of elders, but applications for men who either are contemplating being an elder, or maybe men who are younger who are looking forward one day to being an elder, looking at some advice from Paul the Apostle. And to kind of set the stage for us a little bit, from Acts chapter 19, we know that Paul, having spent some time during his missionary journey in Ephesus, he extended his journey up into Greece. He went in chapter 20 through Macedonia. He went through Philippi, or back to Troas from Philippi, then to Assos, and then to Mytilene. But then he bypasses Ephesus. And Luke tells us that he's wanting to get back to Jerusalem, if by any means, by Pentecost. But once he gets to Miletus, he calls for the elders of Ephesus to meet him there. And this is the kind of the path that he followed. And we can see right here where Ephesus is. And this is his journey up into Greece. And then back around, he bypassed Ephesus and comes to Miletus. And this is a kind of a bird's eye view, looking from the south to the north of Ephesus and Miletus. And what we find starting in verse 17, as Paul is meeting with these elders, it would seem as though between the period of time that he left Ephesus on his way up through Greece and the time that he has come back, there's, rather than stopping back in Ephesus, there's some information he wants to give to these Ephesian elders. There are some directions that he wants to give them before he goes on to Jerusalem. And in fact, he was convinced that he would die in Jerusalem. In fact, he tells them here at the end of Acts chapter 20 that they will see his face no more. And they were all grieved because of that fact. And so starting in verse 17, I'd like to consider with you some directions that Paul gave these men that helps us to understand the role of elders and the mindset and the attitude that an elder needs to have when approaching the concept of being an overseer or a shepherd of the flock of the Lord. So we see starting in verse 17 that from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, talking about Paul, and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, verse 25, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, as Paul is giving this, and it doesn't stop, he goes on into verse 30, really all the way into verse 32 and forward, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But in this, these directions to these men, these Ephesian elders, we want to point out three main aspects of what he brings out to these men in this dialogue. Because in the dialogue from the time that they get here, what Luke gives us of this dialogue, this lesson, sermon, if you will, directions from Paul to these men, there are three main aspects that are going to help these men serve properly as elders. And one of those things we find there in verse 28, how that he says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. There's two aspects, and of course that term take heed means pay attention and guard. You be aware of yourself and be aware of the flock. And notice, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. So notice these two terms associated with the concept of heeding or guarding and being aware. He says, you are overseers and you are shepherds. And this is part of where we get our terms like pastor. A lot of times pastor is related to the preacher. However, a preacher is not necessarily a pastor. A pastor can be a preacher, but a preacher is not necessarily a pastor. A pastor is an elder. And certainly preachers can serve as elders. I've known of occasions where that happens. And so yes, he would double as preacher and an elder or pastor. But notice as Paul describes this here, he says, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And then he refers to them shepherding the church of God. Understand, and of course, in the early goings of the New Testament church, many of these men who were ultimately made elders, certainly many of them probably had spiritual gifts, miraculous gifts. Many of these men upon whom Paul and other apostles had laid hands, ultimately because they had these gifts, were viable and to a certain extent important aspects of being elders, having those gifts. But I think Paul, this is beyond just any specific miraculous gift that Paul describes in verse 28. Notice that the office, the nature of the office of an elder, of that role, that comes from the design of God through the Holy Spirit in His Word. That Word delivered through Jesus Christ, there is this office of an elder to which men are appointed who match up or line up to those qualifications and characteristics. And they, he says, are they're overseers, the sense in which oversight, authority is an implied aspect to that. The idea of shepherding means to guard, to protect, which is why Paul uses this in the context of take heed to yourselves and take heed to the flock. Why? For I know this, verse 29, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That's why he calls on them. First of all, you watch yourself. Make sure you continue in the service of God, faithfully maintaining this integrity and this character that you are called to have. But also, verse 29, that after my departure, after Paul is gone, and that and not just his departure in terms of leaving Ephesus or leaving the region, but after his death is primarily what Paul's describing here. But after I'm gone, and really to that matter, many of the apostles, by the time Paul dies, many of the apostles will have died by then as well. The idea of no longer having that apostolic authority from the perspective of having the apostles with us will encourage individuals to try to draw others after himself. I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. There are going to be people who are going to come in, they're going to teach dangerous things, they're going to draw people away. But that's not the only danger they're going to face. Among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse. The term perverse means to take and twist. The idea of here's the Word of God. They know the Word of God, but they're going to twist it to draw away the disciples after themselves. And so the first duty that he describes here among the elders, or one of the most important aspects of being an elder, is to maintain my character, my integrity as a Christian, and certainly within the qualifications that Paul gives to Titus and to Timothy, but also to maintain the integrity and the purity of the congregation of God's people in teaching the truth, practicing the truth, in standing for the truth. And that's one of the roles of an overseer or a shepherd. And notice the value that Paul puts on this. He gives us why this is so important to protect there in verse 28, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is why it's important. This is why it's so valuable to protect, because Christ died for it. He purchased it with his blood. Therefore, we must keep it pure and holy. And that's why Paul puts this responsibility, or reminds them rather, of this responsibility that they have in shepherding and overseeing the flock. Thus, when he says in verse 31, therefore watch, this term watch and heed earlier in verse 28, they're similar in their reminding to guard, to be aware, to be watchful. That's why he says, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So who has to take up that role? Who has to take up that mantle? He's telling the elders this for the reason that they will now warn the brethren, that they will now keep them aware of the dangers and make sure that they remain in the path that they need to go, just as shepherds over real sheep maintain them in a place that is peaceful, a pasture that is peaceful, that is safe. And should anything happen, that shepherd jumps into action to protect the sheep. And this is what Paul is calling on these Ephesian elders to do. He says, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. This is going to happen. These dangers are real. And now these Ephesian elders must stand in that place to guard, watch, and warn. The second thing he says, we find here in verse 32. He says, So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. As Paul comes to the end of his discourse with these brothers in Christ who are serving as elders, he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. This term to commend, it means to place with someone. And in essence, to kind of pass over this sense of entrusting, of commitment. And so in this way, there are two things that Paul is describing that he is commending. He says, no, notice, I commend to you. That's not what he says. He says, I commend you to God. And there are two aspects to this. One is, I'm commending you to God and encouraging you of the faithfulness you need to maintain. I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. There is this encouragement from Paul that I am entrusting you to now serve faithfully, to stand firm for the truth, and to maintain the security and integrity of the sheep in Ephesus. No longer, as Paul is, he's anticipating his death in Jerusalem, he says, I commend you. In other words, now you have the authority. Not that they didn't before, but from the perspective of Paul, an apostle, and the elders, certainly even the elders would listen to Paul and heed Paul being an apostle. Well, now Paul is in essence saying, listen, you are the authority. You are the ones who are in charge, but you are also the ones who take the responsibility. And as a result, I commend you to God to maintain your faith, to be strong, But notice he also says, I commend you to the word of his grace. I commend you to that word, understanding the integrity, not just of the character that God wants from you, but of the truth. Maintaining the teaching of that truth. Maintaining the integrity of the practicing of that truth. And as a result, to be prepared when, verse 30, 29 and 30, these wolves try to come in among you to take the sheep. In particular, you think about Judaizing teachers who might try to come in and preach Judaistic principles or try to bring people back to the old law or try to teach the Gentiles to be circumcised like in Galatia. These would be savage wolves. Even from among them, there might be those who are going to pop up and say, hey, like Hymenaeus and Philetus, the resurrection's already passed. Y'all need to follow after me. I've got this understanding. I've got this wisdom. And those elders, as Paul told to Titus, need to be prepared to convict those who contradict, to stop the mouths of those who speak falsely. This is why Paul commends them to God and to the word of his grace. You put yourself in God's hands, in God's trust, and you rely on his word to guide you because it is able to build you up, make you strong. And notice, these men were already elders. This wasn't a situation where these men are wanting to be elders and they need to grow some more. These men were already elders. Notice one of the applications that we draw from this, or implications, I guess we could say, from this, is that these men still could grow. These men weren't done growing. That's why Paul says that his grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel, verse 33. He says in verse 35, I have shown you in every way. Paul's example has led out. And in doing so, he provided an example not just for the brethren, but also for the elders themselves. So in addition to being aware, guarding themselves and guarding the flock, understanding the nature of the dangers to which the flock will be exposed, in addition to commending them to following and being faithful to God, being firm and sound in the truth of God's word, he utilizes his own example to give to these Ephesian elders. Because notice how often Paul talks about himself in this discourse, and he doesn't do it to brag. He's not doing it to say, hey, look how righteous and holy I was among you. That's not why he says this. Notice what he said earlier back in verse 19. Well, starting verse 18, you know from the first day I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Paul endured all of that in order to, verse 20, teach the whole counsel of God. But notice how when Paul offers this, what's kind of being said between the lines is, you're going to face these types of problems too. And you have to be prepared to persevere. You have to be prepared to endure. Just as Paul says, serving the Lord with all humility. That's Paul, of course, as an apostle. It was important for him to be humble. Even so with elders. Despite the authority and the position that they hold of honor, they should also serve in humility. Being humble. Recognizing that they are serving the brethren and serving the Lord in the role that they perform. With many tears and trials that happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you. He didn't yield in the face of adversity. And that is one characteristic that elders absolutely must have, is that they cannot yield in the face of adversity. When problems arise, and they're going to, that's just the nature of mankind. As much as brethren wish that things like that didn't pop up, there are going to be times where there are difficult things that elders have to deal with. But that's okay. Paul had to deal with those types of things. The Ephesian elders, as Paul is telling them, you're going to have to deal with these types of things. But that is the nature of helping the brethren, because these men who are in position of an elder. Should have the wisdom and the background, the foundation and understanding in the scriptures to properly deal with those types of scenarios. That doesn't mean that these men are always going to be perfect and make all the right decisions. Sometimes there may have been a better way to handle something. That's part of being an elder, that leadership. Sometimes it's a process of learning and growing. But in terms of standing for the truth, of maintaining that stand, whether they could have maybe said something different or did something a different way with a different tact, maybe not. But as long as we stand for the truth and do what's right, and we do not yield in the face of somebody who is in sin or somebody who's teaching something false, this is what Paul is encouraging these brethren to do. These men who are serving as elders, you stand for the truth. And that's why he says, I kept nothing back. He says in verse 20, I taught you publicly from house to house. Notice his care for souls. And this is the other aspect that Paul is wanting to impress upon these Ephesian elders, is that you must care about the souls over which you serve as shepherds. You must care for every soul. Don't let a soul slip through the cracks. One Sunday they're not there, then Wednesday night they're not there, and nobody notices for a month or two. We need to keep up with our brethren. Make sure nobody falls off and goes unnoticed. And this is part of the service. And of course, deacons help in this too. Deacons, sometimes I've known deacons who were assigned to make sure that, you know, if somebody's not there, to give that list to one of the elders so that the elders can check in on them and so forth. It's part of the help that deacons provide. But elders are the purpose for which Paul's describing this. He says, you're to make sure you care about these souls and make sure you're there to bring them back, if at all possible, should they fall away. In verse 22, Paul says he's prepared to go to Jerusalem. He doesn't know for sure what's going to happen. All that he knows is that the Holy Spirit has testified to him, both through example of the persecutions he faced in every city, but also I tend to believe that there were some specific things he had learned over the course of this particular journey that said something's going to happen when I get to Jerusalem. Paul considered himself, he thought he was probably going to die there. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul, he conducted himself in faithful trust. We see that in everywhere he went. He taught the truth, enduring the trials, but he held true to his calling. That was one of the things that made Paul who he was. And that in of itself was an example set forward for the elders, the shepherds over in Ephesus, to help these men to realize that when you take on that mantle, that responsibility of being an overseer, a shepherd of the flock, you take on that mantle, you must stay true to it. Stay firm in it. No matter what may cause you to be dissuaded or discouraged, you stay true. You stay faithful to the Lord and to the purpose to which you have been set. Paul was set to the purpose of the ministry, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. These Ephesian elders, their purpose now at this point is to serve as overseers and shepherds. And they were to give themselves to that. In verse 33, as we read just a little bit ago, Paul says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And then he quotes Jesus, who at some point said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In many ways, Paul, showing his example of service, of humility, yes, but also of his willingness to serve others and to do the things that he did for the good of others, and that it wasn't about himself. And this kind of shadows what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 about how that these elders, these men who are shepherds, you have this authority certainly, but don't lord it over everyone as if you're some high and mighty and everybody's there to serve you. Peter says that's not the case. Paul emphasizes that through his example. Paul being an apostle, his focus was to serve others for their good. And that's what he did. Verse 36. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. When these Ephesian elders, they met him at Miletus, so they got to go back to Ephesus. Sometimes I wonder what all stood out to each one of them. I mean, there might have been something different that stood out, however many there were. There might have been three, there might have been 15. We don't know how many of these men in Ephesus were elders. But what we do know is, or what I would tend to think, is that these words stuck with them. Especially if this really was the last discourse, last time he ever had to really engage with these elders at Ephesus. And these words stuck with them, knowing that these directions from Paul were so important. Even though Paul wanted to get to Jerusalem for Pentecost, it was so important for him to stop in Miletus, wait for the Ephesian elders to come to him, and then provide this discourse. And then immediately after doing that, where does he go? He goes, gets on the boat to leave. Let's not pass over the urgent nature of these words that Paul wanted to give to these men. And he didn't have, apparently Paul didn't feel he had time to write a letter about it and send it to them. He's there in the area. He doesn't have time to stop at Ephesus. He stops at Miletus. He calls for them. He waits for them to get there. Then he's gone after he talks to them. These words were important because they provided guidance and direction. He didn't want them to be lost all of a sudden now that Paul isn't around anymore. What do we do? I have no doubt that he had taught them at some point all of this. But these are reminders for these men to be strong in the faith and to maintain the integrity of not just being a Christian, but the character of a shepherd, an overseer, bishop, elder, in the way that God has set forth. And in these three ways, that's how these men were to do that. And in these three ways, still continues to be applicable today. For men who are perhaps thinking imminently of becoming an elder, or later, years down the road, maybe one day becoming an elder. These three characteristics and attributes, taking heed as shepherds, commending yourself to God and to His Word, and using the example of Paul to learn that we are to serve God, we're to humble ourselves, to be a servant to others. These are certainly characteristics that are necessary for men who seek to become elders. But they're also necessary for Christians in general, aren't they? When we consider the attributes, this is not just for our fellows who may one day want to be an elder. These characteristics really apply to every single one of us. They apply from the perspective that, you know what, we can't just rely on others to protect us and us not have a care in the world. And we'll be having some lessons later on about how the elders deal with the flock and how the flock deals with elders. And one of the things that we're going to talk about is the fact that what happens if an elder steers us wrong? As a flock, what happens if all of a sudden the elder says, hey, this is okay to do when in the scriptures there's no authority for it? I have known Christians, who have, in the face of all scripture and authority of scripture, maintained it doesn't matter because the elder said it was okay. So if anybody's going to be judged, it'll be the elders. We're okay because the elder said it was all right. We don't have to worry about it. That's not how that works. We are just as responsible for our souls, with or without elders. But the beauty of God's design is that with elders, there is another layer, another level of protection as God intended it. We must take heed to ourselves. Make sure that we maintain ourselves in the integrity of the Scriptures. That we commend and entrust ourselves to God, to the character that He demands from us and the conduct, to maintain our integrity in what we do, what we practice as Christians in worship, and also to maintain the example of service that we talked about last week. Being a servant of others and thereby understanding what true liberty truly is. Through love, serve one another. We can't rely on others to protect us, to help us grow, to work, to do our work for us. And that's one aspect to having elders that we want to make sure we understand. It's the same concept with having a preacher or having deacons. The idea is, well, once we have a preacher, we don't have to study with people or talk to people. The preacher does that for us. But that's not what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 about these roles that Christ had created in the church. He's given some to be pastors, elders, and then one of the phrases there, evangelists. And for what purpose? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. To help the saints know how to talk to others about the gospel. Well, the same is true with elders. All of a sudden we have elders, that means I don't have to do anything anymore. We have deacons, they're supposed to do all the work. That's not how that works. There are roles to fulfill. Elders certainly takes a lot of I guess you could say, stress or heaviness, weight off of a congregation, knowing that that extra level of protection is there, that we trust these men to take care of us and to guide us the way we need to go. But it doesn't mean all of a sudden we get to lay back and just show up at worship and that's it. We don't have anything else to do. It is still required of us to maintain our integrity of service to God. That's the lesson for you this afternoon. I hope this is something that maybe looking at it from a little bit of a different perspective rather than just going back through, and we will, like I said, we're not going to not go back through the qualifications and characteristics. We will go through those. But kind of taking this opportunity to look at this from a different line of sight, I guess you could say. From Paul speaking to these Ephesian elders, what they gained from it, what our men who might be seeking to be an elder one day can gain from it, and what we as individual Christians can gain from it. We offer an invitation this afternoon to those who are not Christians to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, to be added to the body of Christ, knowing that baptism, in addition to removing our sins, washing us clean, baptism adds us to the body of Christ. God does that. As many as were being saved, Acts chapter 2, the Lord added daily. Added to what? Added to the church. Baptism is the means by which we enter in to the church. It is the means by which, through the vessel of the church, we enter the kingdom. This is what Jesus taught Nicodemus in John chapter 3. A man must be born again of water and the Spirit if he hopes to enter the kingdom of God. Those of us who are Christians, let's make sure we take these characteristics to heart, knowing that characteristics of elders, many of the characteristics and qualifications of elders really are part of what every Christian should be. There are some that are specific to that office, but most of them, at least in terms of their character of conduct in Christ Jesus, this is what we all should aspire to be. If there's any way we can help you to do that, please come forward as we stand and sing.